after evaluating the film, I think you saw and we saw in film two very good football teams that played a tremendously hard-fought physical football game. Opportunities on both sides to be significant in the game. Thought our kids competed, played, made adjustments, stayed in the moment, didn't allow frustrations or things, just kept playing, which is when you're in a heavyweight fight like that, I mean, all three phases, things are going to happen. And you kept competing, getting better, making adjustments. Our will to win, our will to compete, our ability to get better as the game went on and things we did, I thought were there. We needed one more play. We needed one more play. And I can say that's that 2% we got to find. And I've got to keep educating, got to get it out of these guys and get it out of our staff and get to that level. But that's a very good football team we played. Hats off to them. Nothing there. But I thought our kids defensively, I thought we were very physical up front, really disrupted in their run game, did some things. Played the pass pretty well, pressured the passer at times very well. They made a couple downfield throws and hit some go routes that allowed them to get in there, and then their field goal kicker made kicks. Thought offensively, they were disruptive on us in the first part of the game running the football. We can get hats to hats, getting guys coming off blocks and not staying on. They're a good football team, movements and things. And then the game went on, we gradually got better at that. And then we gave Kellen time, and we were able to execute in the passing game, move the football very well. In the second half, especially at the end of the first half, and had one other drive in the game. We had some weather and some field position issues early, but stayed in the game there and got better and had a chance to get it at the end. Thought we could punt it and hold them, and then unfortunately they picked up a couple first downs. That was one thing defensively. I wish we could have got those stops right there. But, you know, offense, we had a drive we could have finished, and things happen, and it is what it is. Special teams-wise, I thought their punter changed the field position on us a couple times really well, and we didn't punt it quite as well early. Got some punts later. Didn't hit it as well early, and they won some field position battles there. And then we gradually got that back, and in the second half we only punted one time, which was the last drive we had the ball trying to pin them back. But in that regard, they got a kick return we didn't squeeze and got out of a lane, and which helped them set up a field goal one time. And then, of course, we had an offense had a turnover there on a play, whether you stop, whatever, that's part of the game. You got to hold on the football. You can't give it up no matter what if there's 7,000 people there. And we had some opportunities there. But I think special teams-wise, Courtney came in, had a nice punt return. Nias got his knee banged up, and then he came back. But then he had a nice punt return. Great to feel him in there and did a nice job there. I thought Jamon played a really good game on offense, catching the football. I thought Courtney had some plays. Wiedemeyer had some plays. In the running game, we didn't get things going, and we got behind and got success on first down throwing the football. We stayed with it, and we were able to move the football very consistently. Unfortunately, we had the short yardage that we didn't convert, which short yardage we've been very, very good on all year. And things we had done, we've had a tremendously high conversion rate, and that was a big play in the game on the sneak. And then, unfortunately, on the fourth down, we let a guy slip through. We missed a block, or come off a block, didn't miss a block, just came off a block. But, you know, that's what happens in big and heavyweight fights. You know, there's plays that have been made. And we kept battling and still gave ourselves a chance to be successful. But special team, all three phases, some things we got to clean up and we got to get better at, and we got to find that 2% and get going. But Georgia's a good football team, but I think we are too, and I think we're making a lot of strides. I think we're getting there. But we got to, you know, there's no more victories. We got to get over the hump and find a way to make that one more play. And we'll do a good job of that and coach them hard. And the kids will play hard and they'll respond and do the things we do because we got to get ready. That game's behind us. It's over with. What happens in that game, you know, we'll let people decide what here, there, or other, make adjustments for us and whatever else goes on. But I'm very proud of our kids. Our kids fought hard. We push and challenge them very hard to get better, and they're doing it. They're responding and asking everything we do. We just got to do a few little things better as coaches to help them get to that hump and get over the top of that mountain, and we'll do well. But proud of them. They've got to get ready this week. We play a tremendous football team, number one team in the country, LSU. Very good football team, all three phases, offensively, dynamically, or got receivers making plays all over the board. The front's very good. Have an excellent back who can run and catch the ball. I mean, you say, does he run it better, catch it better? Yes. I mean, very dynamic. Tight end Moss does a great job. The three receivers, one, two, six, and the other guys they got, are really good players. Burrow's a heck of a player. He's playing as good as any quarterback in a long time. I mean, 78% completion percentage, that's amazing. Guys are catching the ball, but he's doing things and with a savvy, and they're doing a great job schematically, and they got good players and doing a good job defensively. Very good players. I mean, you got two or three first-round draft picks out there on that defense right now. They got guys on the first level affect you, the second level affect you, and the third level affect you. A lot of experience, a lot of things. Their kicking game is very good and very sound, good returners. They're good all the way across the board, and they're playing as good as anybody in America. So, you know, going down there, it'll be a tough environment. I mean, I've been there many times on the road and as a home team, so I know what it's like. They have great fans, great people, and a great team, and we got to put this one behind us really quickly and move on and get ready to play a tremendous LSU team on the road. Questions?
Down front, Brent.
As soon as LSU beat Arkansas, they started talking very openly about trying to get revenge for last year. Mm-hmm. What is y'all's approach from your end in terms of how you treat that? And can that kind of approach be detrimental to
I think how each team approaches it bases on them. I can't speak for them or how it affects them or how it would affect them. It may help them. Maybe I don't know. All I can worry about is us, and we're going to prepare like we always do and get ready during the week. And we know we have to play well. We know what kind of team they are. They know they're going to come, you know, want to play us very well, and we're going to have to play very well. At the end of the day, it's going to get down to how we play, and we got to prepare to play, and that's why we'll do it. We'll do it like we normally do and be ready to go.
Front left, Travis.
Two questions. First, 2 years ago when y'all were heading to – when the team was heading to LSU, it was a kind of a low point in the program right before you got here. Mm-hmm. How has you seen the program change from that point when you got here into heading into this game this year?
Well, I don't know much about – I didn't study it much back then. I didn't go at it. I just know from the first day I've ever gotten here, I think our kids are – they believe in what we're doing, how we're doing it, the consistency in which we're doing it with. I think the physicality in which we're playing with, the consistency. I got to learn to make some more plays, but I love the way we're competing in games. I think, you know, defensively we've played much better on running the football on offense and stopping the run on defense and becoming more efficient in all the phases of the game, I hope, and what we're getting better at. And sometimes that doesn't always show us in wins and losses, but I think it is. I think we're recruiting very well. I think we had a great recruiting class last year. I think I love the guys we're recruiting right now. I think that the future is bright and how we're competing and the experience we're getting and some of these young players that are really developing. You see them developing in front of us right now, and you know, it's really fun to watch them do it, and I'm looking forward to coaching them here for a long time. So, I mean, I think we're making strides where we need to go.
And also, is there some frustration within the program or with him that Braden didn't make the semifinals for the Ray Guy again this year?
I didn't realize that.
No.
I didn't know that.
Didn't make semifinals, no, sir. That's on me.
Wow. I did not. When was that announced?
That was last week.
I had no – I swear to God, I did not know that. I apologize for that, man.
That's my fault.
I guess I assumed he would. I think the guy's as good as anybody I've ever been around, as good as out there, and I think he'll make a lot of money in this game one day. So, and I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for him. But, listen, there may be other – you say that for a guy, but – obviously, listen, there's other good players out there, and you don't know. I don't mean to take anything away from them. I just know our guy's outstanding and does a great job.
The right side, Gabe.
There's a lot more better than him. Wow.
Jimbo, I wonder if you could speak to the year one to the next transformation of Burrow and what you're seeing on tape this year in this offense. And is there even – how much time do you spend looking back on that game? You played against him last year. Consider how much different –
I mean, we review the game and so it, and you see tape of them periodically about people you play during the year, you know what I mean, by tape and what they've done or whatever. But, I mean, last year I thought against us he was a great player. I mean, he played great that night, running, throwing the football. I'm sure he's much more comfortable in what they do. I guess they've changed some of their scheme schematic. I don't know the inner workings or how they do it or if they've just gotten better at it. I don't know. But I'm sure he's much more comfortable, much more comfortable being in Baton Rouge. You can remember, he's a guy who moved all the way across the country from Ohio to Louisiana and had to make adjustments. You don't take into account how that affects guys. And I'm sure he's more comfortable there. He's better there. They say he's obviously the leader of that team, and you can see it. I mean, I think the guy's playing outstanding football. I think he's playing as good as any quarterback I've seen in a long, long time.
Front left, Zach.
Jimbo, you were a part of a couple of really big rivalries at Florida State. Mm-hmm. With this, I guess, being a rivalry game, one, what do those mean to the game of college football? And two, how do you go about preparing your guys for those kinds of games?
Well, I think, first of all, you, when you go preparing for them, you prepare for them like they're any other game. And what I mean is you can't do anything more special. They say, well, I'm going to do more. What can you, if you're putting your heart and soul in it every week, it's about execution, and I think keeping your emotions in check. I think you have to be able to emotionally – you have to be high when you play, and you have to have energy, and you have to do that. But sometimes your emotions, you can't let them get out of whack. You got to keep your emotions intact to where you can play and wherever that threshold is for each individual and for us as an organization. You know, and I think they're great. I mean, you know, to have rivalries, both teams got to win games. You know what I mean? We won one last year and hopefully get those things going. And I like the direction our program's going and where we're going in the future. So I'm sure we're going to play consistently, and we have such close proximity. I mean, it's going to be a – eventually have a lot of bearing on what's going on in the West. And that's exciting because I think that's great for college football. I think when you have rivalries, the emotions, the people, the fans, the excitement, the joy, I mean, it's things you look forward to and you people mark on their calendars as you go on. So I think they're great for college football. I've been fortunate to be a part of some tremendous, tremendous rivalries when I was at Auburn, when I was at Florida State, when I was at LSU. I mean, it's a blessing and it's one of the great joys and things that go with being in this profession.
Back right behind the lights, Mike.
Hey, Coach, does it change your mindset as a play caller at all when you're going up against a team that can put up points in a hurry like LSU? It feels like they're putting up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know this. They're going to have points. They're going to score points. I mean, your defense, you got to play well. But you got to understand that, you know, each game you go in, a style of game you play. Defense, how do we feel here? Offense, how do you – because you have – everybody gets caught up on defense and offense. No, you're a football team. How are you going to have success in the game? You know, there's games that – like I say, you go in, it may be bad weather. It may be field position. You know, they do things. It may be you think it may be a lower-scoring game, but how you play the game, how you coach the game, how on offense, and you got to play to each other's strengths. You know, do you need defensively? If we go fast pace, for instance, let's say, and does that leave you on the field? Are your numbers, are your injuries okay? Can you handle the number of reps that would go with a fast pace offense or a slow down game or whatever it may be? We strategize that as a staff, and that's one of the first things. You know, what do we think there? How do we feel? How do you think that approach, and what do you – how can we help you? How can you help us? You know what I'm saying? That's talked about all the time. So how you call plays is very directly involved by how the other team does, not only defensively, but how they play offensively.
We'll stay in the back to the left. Tyler?
Coach, with what you saw from the defense against Georgia, does that give you confidence going into playing such a dynamic offense?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, we play great there. But you got to also say, as you know, two different teams and how you match up and what their strengths are to what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are to their weaknesses. And I think that's where you got to be. That's the one thing about college football that's so different than pro football, in my opinion, is that the diversity of what you see week to week is unbelievable. I mean, it's just why I think it's really why you're saying Lamar is having so much success in pro football. You don't see that because everybody else is drop back pass, run on first down, play on. I mean, so that creates diversity. Mahomes was creating different diverse. You know, in college football, you see that every week. You go from a running team to a spread team to an option team to a – you can go to a bone – I mean, you know, the option – I mean, the die, I mean, different stuff. I mean, and I think that's where, you know, defense, we play good against a very good team. This will be a different dynamic because the styles are totally different. But at the same time, that means hopefully the diversity in which you recruit to and have. And Coach Elko does a great job in adjusting those things. And hope we can – and our offensive approach will all be part of how we handle all those things.
The left side, Suzanne.
Hey, Jimbo, I was curious. Coach Ogeron was saying this morning that the game last year that they ran out of two-point plays and that Emsminger was saying, do we have any more? So
I feel his pain.
Okay. So, but they said that now they make a point every Thursday of practicing trick plays and two-point plays. And I'm curious, did
we
you
practice
all,
two-point plays?
You do?
We always do. We'll do a lot on our red zone stuff, and we'd work red zone plays. I call our plus five plays. I have plus five throws, plus 10 throws, third down throws, you know, situations you got to get to, third down red zone throws, and then you have 2-point plays. I mean, so that's something that we have always been a part of and been able to do.
Do you remember any kind of fun anecdotes like that from last year's game, crazy game?
In what regard? I mean,
like, you know, you're talking to whoever on the headset and going, what the hell, you know, what are we going to do?
That kind of stuff. Yeah, a lot of times. I got to do this again. I got to come up with another one. You know, and sometimes it is. And you don't ever know. I mean, that's what I say. Every time you play, you gain or learn something about yourself, good or bad, in a game that hopefully you can take and process for the future in situation. I mean, no one's reading. We sat there in seven overtimes. And on the old days, you could kept kicking. You didn't have to go for two. Now you got to go for two so many times. And you will now because the rule changed the game, it just turns into two-point plays. But, you know, practicing red zone, I mean, there's stuff you can coach this game 70 years. And guess what? You'll run a situation that you've ran for 70 years and something will come up and you'll go, that's never happened ever before in 70 years. I think that's one of the things about sports and athletics, folks, that I think constantly draws us to it. We just don't know what's about to happen. You don't know the outcomes. You don't know what's there. And I think that's one of the things about sports that makes it so great in America and why we as a country love our athletics so much. I really do.
Second row, Olin, then to the left, Alex. Then
yeah, Coach, a couple of things. First of all, do you anticipate having Anias and Elijah available this weekend?
I definitely think Anias for sure. Elijah will be – we'll question. We'll have to wait and see how the week goes.
And then I was wondering if you'd had any kind of communication with the SEC office about some of the calls and if you could share anything.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we – I have my opinion on things. They have their opinion on things, and they'll make that. You know, they're the experts on those things. They'll make the adjustments and what's right, what's wrong, and you know, you voice your opinion. And like I say, guys, that's part of the game. You have to make your own breaks as a football team, as a coach. You can't rely on, well, they missed a call and blame that this. And as a football team, as a play, you have to do. But you also hope that I don't ever think anybody does anything wrong on purpose. I mean that wholeheartedly. But you hope they do it right because, listen, everybody says it's about you as a coach, about our part. No, it's not. It's about the kids. Those kids have blood, sweat, and tears for 12 games a year. But it happens in ball. Listen, missed calls, whatever it is. You have to make your own way. And the guys in the SEC office will make the adjustments and what they think is right, what they think is wrong, and they'll make the corrections with their staff. And, you know, you just hate it for your players. I mean, but it happens in ball. It's part of football. You can't – it's not a crutch. You don't rely on it. Listen, you can't – that's – you can't worry about the spilt milk. It's over with. You got to make your own way. If you're especially going to beat good teams on the road and not let those situations get away. And we can agree. I mean, there's some things that I didn't agree with or I thought should have been called or not called. But, you know, that happens all the time. And that's part of our game and what we have to deal with. And my job is to find a way to not let those things matter. Yeah, in every game when you send things in, there's acknowledged mistakes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like us. Every call you make, every play that a player makes, is every player grade 100%? That just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I mean, yeah, they acknowledge some things were not that like they thought should have been called differently, but, hey, that's that.
Left, Alex.
Hey, Coach, a couple of things. You kind of alluded to earlier how tough it is to play at Tiger Stadium. You know, you've been on both sides of that, Coach, there, mm-hmm. and on the opposing side. What to you makes it such a difficult place to play?
I think it's very much like here. There's such a passion. The people there generally love LSU. I mean, there's a love in that state, I mean, for LSU. It's the state university. It's the flagship university. They live, eat, and breathe by it. They're having success. Those people are fun-loving, great people. Both my kids were born in Baton Rouge. I mean, I understand. I know this. I lived there for 7 years. It was a great place. It really was. And they have true passion for what they do. And they have passion for their state, their university. A lot of those kids are homegrown kids, so they have it there. They want to win. It's the environment, the atmosphere, and football is important there. And it's one of the great venues in college football, and we're fortunate enough to be able to go play in it. I mean, it's genuine.
Gotcha. And then the second one, first half of last game, it was pouring down rain at times, and there's rain in the forecast this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do anything in particular to prepare for that?
Oh, yeah, we practice with wet balls. We do drills. We throw wet balls. We do inside drills with wet balls. We snap wet balls. We punt wet balls. We kick wet balls. I mean, I actually Thursday it was starting to rain a little bit. I was trying to get out there and practice and get in the rain, you know, if it wasn't lightning, so you can practice in it. I mean, you have to go practice, and football is a game of conditions, wind, different things, you know what I mean? So we constantly work on – every week we do wet ball drills. In our drill, we soak the balls and snap them and handle them and run. Yeah, whether it's dry or not, you always work for it. But then those weeks that you know it's going to be wet, we try to do extra drills and more things with them as much as we possibly can. And that was a good thing for the most part. We had the one turnover, which was on the stand, which we got to hold on to. But you know, as far as ball security and things like that, in a very wet, dreary day, I thought we did a pretty solid job. Unfortunately, we had the one, which is still one too many.
To the left, Cease.
Your false starts and delay the games. How much of that possibly was the crowd or being in the road?
Noise a little bit. The first two delays, I thought we got the first one off. Because the rule is, as they look down, because they can't see it, and they look down, and they see it go zero. They look and see if it's kind of being snapped, which I thought it was. We felt comfortable getting it off, but they said it wasn't. The second one, we went out and looked up, had time, and made it, and it got the call, and they changed, and he checked real quick and thought he'd get it off and lost track of the time. It was just a complete mess up. The others, which is very disappointing, we do crowd noise. We do that a lot. Anxious, anxiety, jumped, and it was funny. It wasn't the same guy twice. It was four. Everybody took one turn, and we haven't had those, as I say. Those are self-inflicted pre-snap wounds that affect you, and those are unacceptable. They're unacceptable, and we practice them. We do them. Yeah, there's a noise in the crowd. Yes, because it's just different. I mean, you got to – but, listen, you play in this league, that's part of it. You can't have them. And all of them but one was by guys that had experience, which was the thing that disappointed me.
And the second part, could it help playing possibly, you don't want to do it, but back-to-back games, the fact you're going on the road again after just playing on the
Hopefully
road?
Hopefully it will, that we can correct those right directly after that and get it, because you're going to be in the same kind of noise, environment, atmosphere there is. And, you know, that's those things are on myself. I should never – I can't allow those things to happen, and we got to coach them better so those things don't happen. Answer your question, yes.
Right side, Gabe, and then Brent.
I want to ask you about Jamon. His family's all from Baton Rouge down there. He was committed there. So I want to ask you about him. 63 catches for 840, maybe a little underappreciated regionally, nationally, but what's been the key to his emergence as an upperclassman?
Let me tell you something. His character and his intelligence and his toughness. Guy's a total team guy. Smart guy, learns, can be put in different positions, do different roles, can catch it, can block, can run different routes, likes the physicality of the game, is a tough sucker. He's very competitive, he's intelligent, and he has high character. Whatever he has to do for this team, he will do, and have tremendous, tremendous respect for him as a human being. And he's one of the great, he's one of the true leaders we have. And he's a, I can say, it kind of, because last year he played, and remember he got hurt, and he came back. And just, and you say, well, he only had three catches. Look at what he did blocking. Look at where we put him. I mean, he does so many things, as you say, you know, when you're, if you ever run a business or somebody, you know, you ever seen a newspaper office, there's always called those unsung heroes. Even though he's out front with all these catches, he's a guy who's who can go get the numbers and want to be the superstar, but he'll go do all the little things that a lot of people don't like to do and think, well, that's beneath me at times. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying in our society. He is a true, true team guy that, that I can't say enough good things about. Tremendous character and tremendous human being.
Brent, you'll wrap us up.
Coach Ogeron talked today about the importance of recruiting Houston. How often do you cross paths with LSU in Houston, East Texas, and does that raise the stakes of this game?
Yeah, well? I mean, I think it always is. People who are on your borders and who always – I know when we were at LSU, we always tried to get into Houston. We always tried to get into Texas. I mean, that was a – you know, you had Louisiana. That's the closest place. That had great players, you know what I'm saying? So that's always an area. And Houston's – you got 3 million people. I mean, so unfortunately, everybody in America is in Houston. Dallas and everywhere else. And we need to set a rule. We got to stay just to keep them out. But no, that is a big part, and it does affect the game. I think it's very important. You know, it's funny, the kids today in recruiting, I'm going to say that. I think it's extremely important, and we cross paths with them quite a bit in Houston and different areas, Texas, Dallas, all over different areas, even nationally. I mean, as we're branding out more national to get kids, we bump into each other a lot. I mean, a whole lot. But it's funny how I've seen in the last, I'm going to say, 30 years that I've been in Division I football, 26, 28 year, whatever I'm saying, when I was at Auburn, man, whoever won that Alabama-Auburn game, it was unbelievably significant how recruiting would come into that. But in the last 10 to 12 years, they love it. They want to be a part of it. But a lot of them say, okay, they got problems. I can play there earlier. I mean, I know that sounds – I mean, it does. I mean, why can't or that team doesn't it's funny how the dynamic has changed, because it used to be, hey, I'm going there and we'll win. I don't care if I redshirt a year. We're going to play and I'm going to be good, blah, blah, blah. Now it's, can I get on the field and how quick can I get out? It's very important when you – I think in these games, you got to win your games. But at the same time, it's funny how recruiting – I think our society's changed a little bit in that regard. I used to see it affect recruiting – I'm talking in the 90s, early 2000s. Who won games – a lot of times affected a lot of that. I think it still does, because, listen, the good teams still get good players and they're still recruiting well and it's still about the product. But I think it's a little less now as much as it used to be years ago, if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense what I'm trying to say? Because everybody now was, what can I make? What can I do real quick? You know what I'm saying? But it's still very important. There's no doubt.
All right, Coach, thanks.
Thank y'all. Thank you. Total different dynamic, man.